Welcome to Central Bark, a podcast from Guide Dogs for the Blind. I'm Teresa Stern, and I'm your host.
Hello, and welcome to Central Bark. Today, I am super excited to introduce you to award-winning filmmaker and longtime Guide Dogs for the Blind friend, Dana Nachman. Dana and I are going to chat a little bit today about Pick of the Litter, the series and the documentary, which was, of course, about Guide Dogs for the Blind, and also learn a little bit about her new project, Dear Santa. So welcome, Dana. We're so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much. How are you? I miss you.
I know. We miss having you around. So tell everybody a little bit about your connection to Guide Dogs for the Blind, like how you got involved with doing Pick of the Litter and shows about GDB.
Sure. I just don't even remember what the first little nugget was, but I had heard about it somehow, you know, probably from all the great marketing and press you guys do. And my partner, Don Hardy, and I were so just excited to learn more about it. We worked at NBC Bay Area. It wasn't called NBC Bay Area at the time, whatever. It was the NBC station. My job was a special projects producer. So I got to really have a lot of ownership and pick of what stories I did, mostly features. So I pitched a story on it. I believe it was about the puppy raiser. Oh, no. I think the first one was about a graduation. And that, you know, I mean, you can't have a dry eye if you're at a graduation. And
so No kidding.
Oh my God. I mean, so we did that. And then being there, we learned about kind of a little bit about the process. I mean, of course, at the time we thought we knew a lot about the process, but now we know a lot about the process. So we did another story. It was around the holidays, actually, I remember, because there was Christmas lights everywhere. And then we had to hold it for a few months. And then it was really awkward that there was Christmas lights. But we did those about puppy raisers and what that job was. And then we did another one about a woman who had a guide dog. She worked at Guide Dogs. I don't even remember who it was. And she had some very interesting hobbies. We did one on them. So we just did a lot of stories. Whenever we could find an angle, we did a story. Then we became, you know, over the years, we kind of morphed from being journalists to being filmmakers. And, you know, there's always, you know, a lot of nuggets that we learned from being journalists. And one that kind of stuck out was the whole process of raising a guide dog. And meanwhile, my mom had done a story in New York, a similar story about raising guide dogs from birth to if they make it, for a newspaper in New York.
Oh, cool.
And I thought that was a great idea. And I'm like, that's an awesome narrative thread for a documentary. So we went over to Guide Dogs for the Blind and we pitched you guys, and you said yes, which was an amazing thing and put us on this amazing many years long trajectory to make both the film and the series.
Right. Now that's so cool. The connection with your mom too. I think that's amazing.
She has very good ideas. My mom has very good ideas.
Like
she does.
So tell us about sort of making that documentary and about the series and what sort of the differences were for you.
Gosh, I had a very funny experience this morning. So for another reason, I was looking up how many days we shot for the film, and I had estimated it was 40 days. But when I actually looked at it, it was 112 days.
No way.
It was insane. It was, and just to give you a perspective, when we budget for, you know, documentaries and how we make them and plan, we plan for 40 days. So that was crazy. We shot a lot. And then for the series, we shot only 82 days. we were around there, and probably to everybody's like, they're like, wait, what did we get involved with? You guys are always around.
Yeah.
So the process was really amazing. And it was really an interesting process to make the film. We made it over 2 years. I mean, wait, shooting, I think, for 2 years. Yeah. So then it took longer to make the whole thing. And it was a really amazing process to watch, you know, step by step, these dogs go from like birth and the minute they were born,
literally,
to like these amazing helpers and these amazing animals and all the people in between it took to get them there. It was really awesome. So when Disney came calling to make a series based on the film, I mean, they were smart because it's a great, great, great process. We did it again, but it was way different because we were working with a big company. Like Don and I, just basically the reason we could do it the other way with 112 days was because we would just kind of pop over, shoot for a couple hours. You know, we were local. It was like a little more casual. And then when Disney got involved,
brought in the big mouse, it all
much
changed.
Much less casual, lots of people, and on a much quicker timeline. Like they wanted to make it, I believe we like kind of got the green light in like January, February, and they needed it done by July. So that precluded us doing it the way we had done it before from, you know, birth through the process. So it was like, we were halfway through the process when we started, and it was just pretty chaotic, but really interesting as well. So, you know, we knew so much more. We had more institutional knowledge. We knew you guys much better. It was really fun to get a do-over, you know, in a lot of ways.
That's so cool. Yeah. And it is fun to watch both because they're similar, but very different. So it's a cool experience for the viewers as well, I think.
But I think so. I hope so. Yeah. I mean, I haven't heard, you guys probably know better, like feedback on which people like better.
You know what? Everybody just seems to like them both a lot. So
that's so nice.
Was there anything that you were like, oh shoot, I wish they hadn't, you know, I imagine you are, I'm sure, part of the editing, but was there anything that you had to edit out just for time or whatever that was like, oh darn, you know, like,
no, I don't think so. There's nothing really left that, not really, you know, because we were so lucky actually on both the projects that there was no real like actually the film or the show that I just finished, which I'll tell you about later, like we had to make them 22 minutes and 26 seconds each episode. Geez. So like, yeah, it's really tough to deal with that. Whereas this, because it was on a streaming service, you know, it was supposed to be around 30 minutes, but it was okay if it was less, it was okay if it was more. I think if it went 10 minutes over, which I think the finale was going longer, we had to get approval to go long, but we got it. So we didn't have to do much. You know, the one thing I think we wanted to try to shoot, but I forgot why we couldn't, was like more of the graduation classes, like doing, which I understand, it, you know, it's annoying to have film crews at things. It creates some problems. But I think like, that was one thing I was interested in shooting is more of the class, you know, but maybe we could do that another time with another.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We need a third one for sure.
Yes.
So you mentioned it. You have a new really cool project called Dear Santa. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So yes, I made a film that came out in 2020 called Dear Santa. And it was about, actually, and I think it was thanks to Pick of the Litter. So why I got it done. So I'll tell you about that. So it was an idea I had for about 8 years before this. And it was, I had read a book that my mom, again, got me. See, everything.
Goes go on. Moms. Yes, yeah.
Go Barbara. So she got me a book a bunch of years ago. And it was, she found it at the post office. And it was about what happens to all the letters to Santa after they're mailed. Like every year, hundreds of thousands of kids send letters to Santa and they go into the postal service and they get dealt with by Santa and others. So I had this idea when I read that book, I was like, oh, what an amazing documentary. But when I got it, I was still in my dark phase. I was doing a lot of very dark and depressing documentaries. It was funny when I met my husband, he was like, you're such a like light person. Why do you do such dark things? And I was like, I don't know why. I don't know. But I saw the light and now I don't. And so, you know, I just didn't see a path for like that kind of documentary. And then after Pick of the Litter, when we got the green light, right around the time we were getting the green light for the Pick of the Litter series, I had already done a film called Bat Kid Begins that was a little lighter.
Bat Kid, yes.
And so with Bat Kid and then Pick of the Litter and then the series happening with Disney Plus,
yeah,
I was like, you know, I think I have the credibility now to do a family type documentary, which is kind of rare. So I cold called the United States Postal Service, just like I cold called you guys.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And guess what? I have an idea.
Completely. Like literally, that's what I did. And, you know, it took several rounds of figuring out the right people to go to. And they said yes. And so we made that film in 2020, which was about certain letters that we found and then followed them till how Santa deals with them, how the elves deal with them and all that. Cool. And then that, you know, when I made that, the funders of it said, hey, we really want you to do what you did with that Pick of the Litter movie. We want you to do that as well. Like, so a film and then a series. And I said, okay, well, let's just see how the film goes first.
Like, get ahead of ourselves.
Yes. And so it happened. So after we did that film, we were able now to make a series that's coming out in December for ABC and Hulu about the same thing, Dear Santa. I didn't actually mention, I think we should mention that you guys are featured in Dear Santa.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Tell us a little bit.
Yeah. So we were shooting the series during COVID and there was no letter writing events happening anywhere. Like in the film, we got to go to post offices where the kids were writing letters to Santa. And so we didn't have any that we could go to. So we had to like manufacture some. So I called over to you guys and basically said, any chance you guys have some kids you'd want to like have a letter writing event with? And you guys had the best letter writing event with kids in your Canine Buddies program.
Oh, cool.
And they were so adorable. And asked for such fun things. Some of them had Braille writers, which was so cool.
That's awesome for people to see that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. And then, so that was great. And then Jane, who works in your office, she got picked by Santa to be an elf. And so
she
is also featured. I won't tell you about the letter that Santa gave her, but she was an elf this year. I don't know if this was her first elfing year or not, but you guys can check in with her on that. But she was an elf. And so
I need to get her like a little hat.
Yes.
With a little bell.
Yes. Yes. And so that is in one of our episodes.
Oh my gosh. I have a feeling there's going to be lots of Kleenex needed for that one too.
Yeah. It's really, it's very similar to Pick of the Litter. It's like, you know, that people say in Thailand, I think same, same, but different. Like it's a lot of people coming together to help someone else. And it's like really touching, you know, I think Guide Dogs for the Blind is different in that it's so much work. It's not like a one, you know, like to raise a puppy and to do all the things. It takes so much, which, you know, not everybody can do for various reasons. And the people who do it are saints.
Yes, they are.
Yes. To do Operation Santa through the United States Postal Service really takes very little time, but it's the same thing. Somebody just helping another person out.
Right. And a huge impact though.
Huge impact. Like the kind of pay it forward, you know, this of it. And like the thought that like a lot, you know, several people who have said this, that they got a present from Santa and from people who helped Santa and they never forgot it. And that down the road, 20, 30, 40 years from that, they said somebody else helped. We have a very compelling scene in the series coming up with some Holocaust survivors who helped a current refugee. And they said when we, you know, went to London after the Holocaust and there was clothes that were given to us, we just couldn't believe anybody cared. And like, we're just, and like, they remember that all these years later and now are giving Christmas gifts to refugees.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, you're starting me tearing up. That's just amazing. And the, just to know like somebody has your back, right?
Yes. Yeah. And a stranger. And
you know, it's not somebody you know. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. And the thing on the film, I mean, on the series, well, both is they sometimes now the elves can see what happened because of the film, but otherwise it goes out into the world and you'll never meet the person. It just goes in the mail and it shows up at the house of the kid.
Super cool. You've had like these great opportunities to work with lots of diversity. And tell me what it feels like to be able to really spotlight some of these just incredible stories.
Oh, I mean, it's awesome. I think you guys know because, right, like this is what you do all day in, day out. It's like being around inspirational people, being around people who are helpers in the world, who are doing right by the world. It just is such a better way to live, right? So I feel lucky that all I'm doing is piggybacking on what you guys do every day and like surrounding myself with it. So it's awesome. I mean, and it's funny because when I started doing the lighthearted stuff, I realized, even though I thought it was the other films I did were really important and I really stand by them, but hard to like, it's hard to make them. And then not only make them, making it's not that hard, but then like you have to go out and talk about them for years to come or forever to come. Like people always come back and ask you years later, hey, what was Guide Dogs for the Blind like? Or like, you know, do a podcast for like 4 years after. And like, you constantly want to talk about it. So it's hard and depressing to talk about bad things all the time. Whereas now you could talk about good things all the time. So I think it's been a real awesome thing for me in my life. And I'm really thankful that places like Guide Dogs for the Blind trust me with their stories. It's a hard thing to have films and TV shows made about you. It's scary, I'm sure. So I really appreciate the trust. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you did an incredible job. You really did brought out so many, even for me, somebody who's been involved with Guide Dogs for a long time, you know, just bringing out some of the stuff that I don't get to see. And like you said, that amazing sort of connection that you have with somebody who's doing something they don't know who it's going to. They're putting all this work and effort into something. They're not sure how it's going to, but it changes the world. And I think that's, you did an amazing job doing
totally.
That.
Totally. Thank you so much. Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. I mean, I think people, if we have more of this, it's a great kind of leveler for like all of what we see in the news that's so bad. And, you know, just like, let's just keep spreading these good stories because there's so much good. And no matter who you are and who you are politically or whatever you're doing, like a lot of people do great things. And so if we highlight that, you know, we won't worry as much.
It gives balance, right? Lately, I've been calling the news the noise.
Totally. Oh my God. Yeah.
So there's a little balance, which is good. So what's next on your plate?
I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do first, but one thing I'm really excited about is I, for about a year now, have been working with the descendants of Emily Post, the etiquette guru from the 1900s. So I have gotten the rights to tell her story. And we just signed with a big production company to do it together, which we haven't announced yet, but we will soon. And so we're going to make the film, the definitive film about Emily Post, her story. She's a fascinating woman, not what you would expect. Like she wasn't all prim and proper. She she divorced her cheating husband.
Oh,
when
good
the,
for her.
Got divorced. Yeah, she was a bad,
sassy.
You know, yeah, sassy. And then her family has been carrying on her legacy for 100 years. They just published their centennial edition of her book. So like for 100 years, they've been revising, making it more modern. Now they talk about pronouns and what to do when there's like somebody brings a joint to your house, like a party, and mansplaining and tons of different things. And so they're like walking the walk all these years later. So their quest to keep her legacy alive is kind of the through line of that film. And then just modern day etiquette and where we are in civility. And so I'm really excited about that. It's like, whenever people ask me what I'm doing next, we start talking, getting on this thing about like tipping or da da da. Like it brings up a lot of fun, like things totally. You can talk about and think about.
Right. Can you pick up a chicken wing with your fingers or do you have to cut it off?
I think they would say yes.
Okay, good.
Seriously, like almost every weekend I have something like I want to know from them. And like, I have to stop myself of texting them all the time because I'm sure everybody they know does that, you know?
Very cool. Very cool. Well, we were chatting before we actually started the show a little bit and you revealed kind of a cool thing. Tell us a little bit about the project your son and husband might be getting into.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. So my husband and son went to their first puppy club meeting in Palo Alto on this Sunday, and they might become puppy raisers if we're so lucky to get, you know, approved. And so they learned about greeting behavior on Sunday. They came home and were telling me all about it. And
it
was really awesome. So there's a guide dog in his math class at Mountain View High School. And so I think that, you know, that kind of opened the door for him. And we're excited. I mean,
well, what's so cool is that at some point, somebody will ask him why you got into puppy raising. And I bet he'll somehow wheel it back to mom.
I don't know. They did say, I asked if it came up and he said, no, we're going incognito. Oh. It was really funny. It was really funny. Yeah. I wonder how long it'll take.
Right.
Maybe not at all.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for everything that you're doing, really for the world, bringing some really joyful stories to the world. Thanks for all that you've done to shed the light on Guide Dogs for the Blind. And I wish you the very, very best with your next project. And I can't wait to see
you.
Dear Santa. Oh, and tell us how we can catch Dear Santa, because I definitely need to see that.
It's going to be on ABC. We don't have the time exactly yet. So they said we should check the local listings wherever you live. So they'll be around the country. And then on Hulu after that. So we're excited.
Okay. So that'll probably be in December or?
Yeah. Sometime after December 4th.
After December 4th. Okay, cool. Well, I'm definitely going to be tuning in for sure.
Oh, awesome.
Well, thank you so much, Dana, and very, very best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. You as well. Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in to Central Bark, a podcast from Guide Dogs for the Blind. If you enjoyed today's broadcast, please hop on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. Your reviews help more people find our podcast and learn about GDB's life-changing mission. We also love it when you leave us notes. As always, if you have an idea for an episode or a question you'd like us to answer on our podcast, please send us an email at podcast@guidedogs.com. We love hearing from you. So head over to guidedogs.com/podcasts, where you can find recordings of previous episodes, along with show notes and transcripts.